Jesus Christ, prophet, carpenter, mystic, son of God, savior and friend, he is known by many names. The birth of this beloved teacher and master, who was born in Bethlehem, marks the beginning of the Western calendar. So important was his influence on humanity. The birth of this man who was one with God is a sacred event that marks an entire era. Jesus made his appearance on the world stage in the humble manger. Born to the devout Jewish couple, Joseph and Mary, who were given signs of his greatness. From the Bible, we know that when Jesus was 12 years old, he stayed in a temple in Jerusalem in order to talk with and ask questions of the teachers. The people were amazed at his understanding. Some sources say that Jesus went to India, the land of spiritual knowledge since time immemorial, where he studied with adept and wise teachers. He next enters the gospel narrative at about the age of 30 when he was baptized by John the Baptist, an event that marks the beginning of his brief public life as a teacher. Jesus taught God's love and forgiveness to all people with open hearts. Jesus could discuss the scriptures with the erudite and learned, but mostly he told simple stories, called parables, that everyone could understand. Jesus is especially loved and remembered because of his sacrifice. 3 days after his crucifixion, he arose in glory and triumph. Today we present to you Jesus Christ's teachings as written in the Gospel of John, chapters 11 to 13 in the Holy Bible.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said,
"The sickness will not end in death, no. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it."
Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples,
"Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?"
Jesus answered,
"Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is not when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light."
After he had said this, he went on to tell them,
"Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up."
His disciples replied,
"Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep.
So then he told them plainly,
"Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples,
"Let us all go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home.
"Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her,
"Your brother will rise again."
Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her,
"I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world."
And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside.
"The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you."
When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled.
"Where have you laid him?"
he asked.
"Come and see, Lord,"
they replied.
Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance.
"Take away the stone,"
he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said,
"Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me."
When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice,
"Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave's cloth and let him go."
Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him.
Six days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. Then she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume.
But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it.
"Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she would save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead.
The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting,
"Hosanna," or save in Hebrew. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel."
Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written,
"Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt."
At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him.
Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another,
"See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied,
"The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name."
Then a voice came from heaven,
"I have glorified it, and will glorify it again."
The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus said,
"This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for your judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself."
He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them,
"You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light."
When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet,
"Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?"
For this reason, they could not believe, because, as Isaiah says elsewhere,
"He has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them."
Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out,
"When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge them. For did I not come to judge the world, but to save it? There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say."
It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love.
The evening meal was being served. The devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him.
He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied,
"You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand."
"No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered,
"Unless I wash you, you have no part with me."
"Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered,
"A person who had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you."
For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place.
"Do you understand what I have done for you?"
he asked them.
"You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." We thank you for joining us for Between Master and Disciples. May God grace you and your loved ones with ever more fulfillment and peace.